I've been filling up with this message for the last couple weeks, and I'm about to burst with joy for the encouragement that I know you're going to leave with. I know that God is going to inspire you to live for Him, and I invite you to receive the Word today, to believe the Word today, and then live the Word today. Amen. So let's bow our heads in prayer and let's get right into it because I'm ready to go. Praise you, God, for this day. Thank you for the little children, for on the lips of little children, Lord, you are praised perfectly. We thank you for them, and we thank you for all the moms and grandmas today. Lord, encourage them, strengthen them in their holy faith today. In your glorious name we pray, amen, amen. Well, there was a cute little feisty grandma that was following this young man around the grocery store. And after a while, the young man turned and he said, "I'm sorry, do I know you?" And she said, "Well, honey, you look just like my son. And tomorrow is Mother's Day, and he doesn't get to come home, and I am missing him." He said, "Oh, well, I'm so glad I look like him." And he introduced himself, and she introduced herself. And then she went and got in line behind him. Well, in front of him. And he had just a few items, but she had a whole cart full of groceries. And she turned to him and she said, "You know, it would really make my day when I leave today if you would just say, 'Bye, Mom.'" He said, "Oh, that would be easy. I'm happy to do that for you." So she had all of her groceries bagged up and put in. And as she left, he said, "Bye, Mom." And she said, with a little twinkle, "Bye, son." And the grocery store attendant said, "That'll be $104. He said, "What?" He said, "Well, she said that her son was buying her groceries." Happy Mother's Day, huh? Beware. No, today I want to share with you the power of humility. Did you know there's power in humility? And how many of you would say, "Oh Lord, it is hard to be humble"? Not because we're perfect in every way, but it is. Can you say it with me? It is hard to be humble, but it is powerful. Humility is powerful and impactful. I think as people, it's hard to comprehend how dangerous pride is and how powerful humility is. Can I say it again? We just don't get how incredibly dangerous and destructive a haughty, prideful spirit is. See, God is so good and kind and wonderful. He promises us that if we humble ourselves under His mighty hand, and it's the hand that saves, it's the hand that reaches up to save us. When we humble ourselves under the hand that will save us, He lifts us up. Asking God to help us be humble will improve our relationships at home, at work, and anywhere you go. I'm just curious, how many of you woke up this morning and first you started thanking the Lord and then you said, "God, give me at least 5 chances to be humble today"? Maybe not, but it's a great prayer. Number one point, because there is a place to take notes, and we've learned as speakers, we get highly depressed because people forget 85% of what we say if they don't write it down. So get those pens out and start writing. There is nothing more dangerous than pride. It is natural to be prideful. It is insidious, and it is hidden from our sight. When we are prideful, here's the scary thing. We don't know it. You see, people who have a problem with pride, they don't see it. So that's why you really don't ever see a prideful person running to a bookstore and searching on a way to get rid of pride, because they're too prideful and they're afraid someone would see them looking for the book, right? So those kinds of books aren't big sellers. Also, when we are filled with pride, we don't think we need it. Pride, number two, and this is probably the most important point I could make today. Pride is what is behind a lack of love. When you don't feel loved, that's when pride will really rear its head. Pride is an all indifference to the needs of others, the way they feel, their weaknesses. It's a source of all our hasty and critical judgments. Everybody, we've made hasty and critical judgments, haven't we? And they've cost us. We can, you know, lift both legs and arms. All manifestations of our temper, all touchiness, all irritable feelings, and bitterness and unforgiveness come from a spirit of pride. And a spirit of pride is birthed out of not feeling loved. Now, I want to be clear. Humility is not weak. It's not wimpy. It's not self-deprecating. I am but a worm. I am ugly. I have no gifting. I'm pitiful. That does not please God. In fact, it irritates God, because you're made in His image and you were made for the glory of God to shine through you. But that glory of God shines through you because we know He loves us. We've accepted it. We're marinating in it. Amen? The place to be humble, can you put your hand right here? The place to be humble is in your heart and in your mind. It's a decision. It's a decision to be a servant. And when you decide in your heart and in your mind to be humble, it comes across in a godly way. Number three, a humble person doesn't think more highly of themselves than they ought to, but they don't think more poorly of themselves. In fact, here's the catch. Humble people really aren't thinking about themselves at all. They don't have themselves on their mind. Amen? Humble people have a bold, powerful prayer life, and that's where they're bold. Because they know that it's through prayer and it's through dependency on God that the power comes into their life. When we walk in humility, we know that we are nothing in and of ourselves, but we're everything in Christ. In fact, there's one of my favorite verses, I can do nothing without Christ, but I can do anything that He wants me to do through Him. And I love that translation. When we fill up with God and when we walk with Jesus, we find out that we are stronger than we ever thought we could be. Can I challenge you to get the words, I can't, out of your repertoire? Don't say it anymore. Because I can't is not humility, it's fear. You can do whatever God is asking you to do through the power of Christ, and you can trust on Him and lean on Him and not your understanding. You can be in a tough and hurting situation, and you can help others while you're struggling. You can get your mind off of you, and you can get your mind onto blessing somebody else, because God, let me tell you something, God will always give you all the strength you ever need to be a blessing to someone else. Can we get an amen? That's what He created you to do, was to be a blessing to somebody else. Many times we think the whole world should just stop revolving because we have a problem. And the whole world just needs to stop until our problem is solved. And we feel like there needs to be a sign that says, excuse me, all eyes on me, I'm hurting, I'm suffering. And God says, no, when you're hurting and suffering, go to him, ask him for strength, and look for somebody to be a blessing to. Amen? Okay. Can I encourage you that the quickest way to get healing in your life is to decide to be a blessing to someone else? When we are serving and blessing others, it's an amazing thing. All of a sudden, we begin to feel the healing of God pouring onto our heart and our mind. While we're hurting and we're waiting for the breakthrough, we can be the breakthrough for somebody else. Can we give God glory? Yes. And you know what? We can do it with a smile. Can we smile? Let's just practice. Ready? One, two, three. It's a wonderful thing. A smile is like sunshine on a rainy day, right? A smile when you go into a restaurant and you can tell that maybe the person that's greeting you at the door at the restaurant is just overwhelmed. You can say, oh, you look lovely today. I like your shirt, or you have a nice smile. And we can smile and we'll get it back, won't we? We really will. Did you know that's actually humility? Is lifting other people up. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 12, and it should be up on the screen, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness and the courage and the confidence of free access and unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. Woo! Do you know when Jesus hung on the cross, he was beaten beyond recognition for us. They couldn't even recognize his face. You could see his muscles and his tendons because he had been beaten. And he hung there and he said, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. And when he did that, the veil to the Holy of Holies was ripped. And we had free access to go boldly to God and go, help, help me. We didn't have to go through someone. We could go straight to God. And so God says, have a prayer life. Get in God's presence and take him your problems. Amen? Go boldly without fear. The Apostle Paul referred to himself as the chief of all sinners. That's humility. That's humility. When you say it was probably my fault. But he's also saying in Christ, because of knowing who we are in Christ, we have boldness and access to the throne of God. If you have received Jesus as your personal Savior, not only does he live in you, but you get to go into the throne room of heaven and talk to God. Can I get an amen? That's incredible. That's an exciting life. I talk to him when I'm on my bike. I talk to him when I'm singing. I talk to him when I'm doing dishes. I talk to him when I'm cleaning up after my little puppy. I talk to the Lord. We can go boldly before the throne of God. We can ask for radical things because he's a radical God. We can ask God for things because, can you say it with me? God is good. Can we say one more time? God is good. We wouldn't want to go to a God that was mad at us. We want to go to a God that he says that if we're humbled under his hand, he's going to lift us up. How many of you need him to lift you up? I need him to lift me up. I need him to lift me up. I want to challenge you. If you're not asking God for things that are bigger than what you can do, then you don't understand how big he is. Ask God for big stuff, not little stuff, because he's a big God. When I first went to the Philippines, I thought, God, could you be big enough to supply 200 CDs? Because I didn't know who I was going to be singing to and who I was going to share with. And it cost $1,000 to raise 200 CDs, and it cost me $1,200 for my airline ticket, and then I had to have food. And I thought, wow, that was 11 years ago. That's a big goal. Well, God met it, and he provided 250 CDs. And I did that for a few years, but then I felt this urge. I felt a push, like a little knocking on my heart from God. Because doors were starting to open, and God said, Luann, I need you to bring 1,000 CDs. 1,000? God, that's $5,000. And God met the goal. And then 3 years ago, God said, bring 2,000 CDs. I said, that's 10 grand, God. And God was just like, ha, ha, ha. You're like, that's nothing for me. But then he pushed it. He said, I need you to bring the kids flip-flops and clothes and school supplies, and the orphanage need a garden, and they need some milk cows. And I was like, holy bejeebies, you know? And God met it through his people. He met it. But you know what Satan said to me? When that goal got that big, Satan goes, who do you think you are, Luann? And I went, oh. And then I thought, well, how can I do this? And then God directed me to his throne room. And God said, in my strength, Luann, in my strength, we will meet this goal. And so I began to say every day, my God will supply all the orphanage's needs according to his riches in glory. And he went above and beyond. And last year, we sent 2 boxes. One was filled with 2,000 CDs. The other was jam-packed with clothes. And flip-flops were purchased over there, school supplies. And we saw 5,000 salvations. Can we give God praise? God is big. And he's especially big when the gift will impact you in no monetary or personal way. There was nothing in it for me other than to give, and God loves those kinds of goals. He goes, oh yeah, I will supply that one. Amen? So a while back, I'm in the shower, and I'm praying, I'm singing to the Lord, and he says, Luann, in your lifetime, I want you to sing and share the gospel in all 50 states. I stopped. I said, what? And I could see a map. Well, that was about a year ago, and I've sung in 11 states. So according to the word of God, I'm 54. Before I pass on to glory, I got 39 more to sing in. Amen? And wherever God gives a vision, he will give provision. So through God, it's going to happen. In my lifetime, with the strength and the goodness and the mercy of God, I have been able to lead, with God getting all the glory, over 20,000 people to Christ. It has been the most beautiful life God could ever give. Can we give him the glory? He's so good. I love this Joyce Meyer quote. It says, wouldn't you rather pray a huge prayer and get part of them answered than little tiny prayers and get it all answered? Can I say that again? Would you rather pray a huge prayer and get part of it answered than a teeny tiny prayer and get it all answered? You know, Lord, give me lunch. Well, there you are. You're sitting at your lunch and you're thanking him for your lunch. But God's like, how about if you feed 1,000 people lunch? Maybe you feed 500. That was still a good try, wasn't it? Amen? So I challenge you to go before God. And here's a humble prayer. God, I know I don't deserve this. I don't. Just start humble. God, I'm not coming in my name. I'm coming in Jesus' name. I know I've done a lot of things wrong. Could we all say that? I've done a lot of things wrong. But you said in your word, you forgave me. And I'm not going to talk about my past, God, because you said you threw it into the sea. I know you've forgiven me, God. So I'm coming to you about my future. I'm coming to you about my future because it's more important how I finish than how I started. Amen? It's more important how you finish than you start. Folks, I had a little bit of a rough start. I went through some incredible things as a little girl. And Satan tried to steal me from the love of God. Satan tried to steal me from my destiny. He always tries to kill the baby. He even tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby, but they escaped. He tried to kill Moses. I could go on and on. So if you had a rough childhood, you're in good company. You're in good company, okay? I bet most of you, someone wasn't trying to murder you the second you came out of the womb. That was Jesus. So even Jesus went through something rough. Okay, but oh, when he stood on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he finished strong, didn't he? So your future, if you have Jesus in your heart, your future is bright. Can you say, "My future is bright"? Yes, yes, it is. God says we have not because we ask not. If we make a mistake and ask for the wrong thing, God isn't going to be mad at you. The worst thing he's going to say is just no. And you don't want to ask him for a bunch of stupid stuff, right? A bunch of dumb carnal stuff. Oh, Lord, I wished I had such and such as husband. He's going to go, that's a terrible prayer, right? That's not going to work. But here's the prayers God answers. God answers prayer when we say, let me be a blessing. Let me serve you, God. Let me honor you with my life. God answers those prayers all day long. Amen? Okay. We have a high priest, and I want to really talk to the moms today. We have a high priest who is able to understand and sympathize and have shared feelings with our weaknesses and liabilities and infirmities and the assault of temptation. But one who has been tempted, it was Jesus, in every point, just like we are, yet without sinning. Folks, whatever you're going through today, whatever your temptations might be, can I tell you, Jesus understands. He understands because he was tempted in every way that we were tempted, but he didn't sin. Isn't that incredible? I think as women, we crave to be understood, right? We crave empathy. We crave for someone to say, I get that. I know how that feels. I'm sorry. Well, if someone doesn't get it, Jesus does. And on your craziest, weirdest day, he gets you. Isn't that awesome? I love that about Jesus. In fact, sometimes when I just don't feel understood, I'll sing this little hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And here's my favorite part. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer, right? Because he gets us. He's our friend. Hebrews 4:16 goes on to say, let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. The throne of God's unmerited mercy for our failures and find help for every need, appropriate and well-timed help coming to us when we need it. How many of you like help right when you need it? Right when it's there. Well, Pastor, I'll tell you how good the Lord is. Pastor was on his way to get Cameron. And just as he was pulling up, he was going past a truck stop, one of the tires blew. Well, that could be rough. It was right before the grapevine, before L.A., you know what I'm talking about. That's a rough place to have your tire blow. Did you know that as that tire blew, a trucker pulled in? He had been saved and delivered from drugs and alcohol, so he was on fire for God. He changed Pastor's tire. They talked about the Lord, but more than that, he had just been at USC setting up for the graduation events. He had just come from USC where Pastor was going to pick up Cameron. Now, that's help in time of need. Can we give God praise? That's God. That's God. God knew the tire was going to blow. We didn't. But God knew. Here is a true comfort. And I really want you to pay attention to this. When you've not behaved well, when you've made some really bad mistakes, please don't pull away from God. Please don't pull away from Jesus. Run to Jesus. We can't hide what we've done from God. He sees it. Did you know that God is really good at helping people that don't deserve it? God is really good at helping people that are messed up. But we have not because we ask not. So we must learn to pray our way through the day. Don't just pray for yourself, but pray for other people. Remember, the righteous are as bold as a lion. We can boldly pray all day long. Let's go to number 5. Pride is extremely dangerous. And Adam, I don't know if it's too much trouble because I got this out of sync, but I love those cartoons that I found on humility. Can we show those? I think they are so funny. So, Brian, you think you're good enough for the humility club? Could you tone down your humility a bit, Brother Jerome? Some of the other monks are getting jealous. I've always managed to retain my humility, I'm proud to say. You think you're pretty humble, don't you? Yeah. I just thought those were great. But pride is dangerous. It is defined as to be lifted up, high-minded, to indulge in self-esteem or self-confidence, and to glory in self-achievement. How many times did I say self? Ugh, yuck, right? The Bible says that to follow Christ, we pick up our cross and we follow him, forgetting ourselves. You see, the cross that we carry is that we get our mind off of us and we get our mind onto asking God who we can bless. Can I say that again? Picking up your cross, we're not going to walk around with this big wooden cross, right? But the cross is because Jesus gave up his life for us, right? Jesus is asking us to give up our life to bless others in Jesus' name. Amen? That's carrying your cross. Number 6, pride and boasting go together. They're Siamese twins, aren't they? The proud person talks about themselves. I personally don't like to hang out with prideful people. The thing that touched my heart so deeply when I met Pastor was how humble and selfless he was. It inspires me. I get a little bored when someone goes on and on and on about themselves, right? The Bible says, let another praise you and not your own lips. let another praise you, right? And it feels better because when we talk about ourselves, it's kind of a sign of a low self-esteem. And it feels so much better when someone comes and lifts you up, right? So pride and boasting go together. That's number six. Number seven, boasting is defined as the practice of quackery. Quackery is pretending to be something that you're not. You see, boasting is dumb because anything good that we're able to do is only because of Christ. See, I can't make my heart beat, nor can you. I can't make it beat. I can't make my lungs work. And I can't even make my body make myself stand. God just has given me the ability. And can I just brag on God? It's been 7 weeks since a knee surgery, and I get to wear a little bit of a heel. Thank you, Lord, for healing my knee. I can't tell you how much that means to me. Just a little bit of a heel. Thank you, Jesus. It means a lot to us women. But quackery is pretending to be something you're not. Okay? But humility is saying, God, I know the house I have, you allowed it. You made that happen for me. The breath I'm taking in, you've allowed. Thank you. Pretending to be something that we're not is high-mindedness. Thinking that you know when you don't. Oh, I've done that so many times. Don't you hate that? You get bossy and then you find out you're wrong. It's so embarrassing, right? But high-mindedness sounds like this. Well, let me tell you what I know. Here's the truth about that, right? That's how we get, right? But we can make people feel like they don't know anything until they've heard from us. It's your lucky day. I'm here to share with you the wisdom God has granted me, right? Now, here's something I was thinking about today. I was thinking about this. I have never heard someone say, what ruined our company was our humble employees. They were so humble, they took us down. I'm telling you, if our employees and our boss had not been so humble, we would have made it. No, it's always pride. It's always pride that takes an organization down. It's always pride that will split an organization, right? Pride is the enemy. I have never heard someone say, I can't stand to be around that person because they're humble. I've never heard that. Maybe I will one day, but I don't think I will. See, I'm determined to know nothing among men, this is what Paul says, but Christ and Him crucified. I want to translate what that means. Paul is saying, all I know is who I am because Christ died for me. That's the only person I know anymore. See, Paul used to be, you know, at the top scholastically, and he was a Hebrew Jew, and he knew all this stuff, and he was very hoity-toity. And he was very cruel, and he was killing the Christians. And then he saw Jesus, and it knocked him to the ground. And he was never the same. Humility is a sign that we've seen Jesus. God wants us to have the knowledge, but oh, how He wants us to listen more than we talk. Two ears, one mouth. Do you stop to actually listen to people? Or are you always talking? Do you talk over people? I do sometimes. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. But do you really listen to understand, or are you just a whirlwind? And it is always, is the whirlwind self-propelled? Me, right? We all done it, but it doesn't bring peace, does it? Doesn't bring peace. Humility brings peace. And there's a calmness that comes over us when we sit and we listen for what they're really saying, and then we say, let me pray for you. Let's take this to God. You don't want my wisdom. You want God's wisdom. Amen. Number 8, other words for pride are haughty, puffed up, vain, and glorious. A simple way to put it is that a person with pride is full of themselves instead of full of Jesus. Now, I'm proud of my children. I'm proud of my husband. He has given me beautiful opportunities. God has. But I don't deserve them. I don't deserve my kids. I don't deserve my husband. I don't deserve what God's given me. In fact, I was such a mess when I met Cedric. I had been on my knees. I was so hurting. There had been a lot of abuse, a lot. And that abuse in my life led to me making a series of terrible mistakes. And those mistakes left me broken. I was so broken, but I wanted God. And I said, God, please show me who you are. And you know who he brought to show me that was my husband. And he told me, God loves you. I didn't deserve that, but God did it anyway. I've learned also to never despise the day of small things. I don't even deserve to get to share the word with you today, but I know God's going to get the glory. When we are grateful for the little things, and God can see us thanking him for our food, thanking him for our car, thanking him for our job, and most of all, thanking him for the people in our lives. If we're not complaining about our lives, God can trust us with more. Can I say that again? If we're not complaining about our lives, God can trust us with more. And he says that when we begin to thank him and praise him and humble ourselves, it says he will open the window of blessing and he will be glorified in our increase. How many of you want blessing? I want it. I want God's blessing, but I've got to recognize the blessings in my life right now. Because how can he trust me with more if I can't thank him now? Number 9 is our last one. The sin that Satan committed was the sin of pride. He was originally the angel of worship, and his body was made up of musical instruments. Did you know that? He was an awesome, amazing, beautiful creature. But in Isaiah chapter 14, we'll start at verse 12. We are reminded of how Satan, the worship leader of heaven, fell. How have you fallen from heaven, O life bringer and day star, son of the morning? How have you been cut down to the ground? You who weakened and laid low the nation, though you blasphemous, satanic king of Babylon. You said in your heart, and I want you to count how many times, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God. Whoa. Now here is God's answer in verse 15. You shall be brought down to Hades because God opposes the proud. When we lift ourselves up, God is very capable of bringing us down. He invites us to be humble. He invites us to humble ourselves under his hand that saves. But if we don't, he'll do it for us. And that is probably the most painful thing that we could go through. It's painful emotionally to be full of yourself and have God have to show us that we're nothing without him. See, many people think they don't need God. Many people think they don't need God. But that's sad to me. See, God is awesome. He's awesome. Moms, the best decision you could ever make, and I really say this in love, the best decision you could make is to become a Christian. Commit your life to church, Bible study, and prayer. God cannot display himself in our lives when he is a hobby. See, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it takes humility to realize that you won't have a victorious life in your own strength, on your own. We have to make room for God. We can't make him bigger, but we have to make more room in our life for him. We have to make that decision that he's the vine and we're the branch. And apart from him, we can do nothing. If Wednesday nights is hard, double up your dinner on Tuesday. Pack it up. Plan to grow in God. Come on Wednesday nights. Make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What could be more important than growing in God? If you have to get there at, you know, when the worship's over, just come in on two tires, but be determined that you're going to grow. If being in a small group means that some other activity that's not going to grow you and the Lord needs to get maybe shelved, wouldn't it be worth it to know that you had grown a gargantuan leap from last year to this year? See, it takes humility to humble yourself under the teaching of God. We've got to be humble in our money. Our money isn't ours. That's not my money. It's his money. And he asks a very tiny percentage, 10%. That's not mine to hold. That's his. So I don't even think about it. What I think about is asking him what I should give beyond that. Because if I humble my finances under his hand, my finances get blessed. Anything that I operate in humility is blessed. So I just go ahead and do it. Amen? It's quiet in here. If we think that, and I love sports. I exercise an hour and a half a day. I love sports. But if I think it's more important, if it's taking more precedence than my time with God, then I'm out of balance. And see, moms, the decisions we make right now, they don't just affect us. They affect our kids. Then they affect our grandkids. And then they affect our great-grandkids. And then our great-great-grandkids. Our decisions set things in motion for blessing or curse. So make time for God. He can only be first. He doesn't fit anywhere else. See, God is amazing. And he's transformed my life, and he's still transforming me. He's shaping me. And it brings me tremendous joy to serve him. God is not a religion. So if we say, well, I'm Catholic, or I'm Baptist, or I'm Lutheran, or I'm Methodist, or I'm Pentecostal, I'm a holy roller. Can I tell you something? God could give a rip. He could give a rip, and I don't mean to offend. God wants to know, do you know him? Because in heaven, we're not going to be segregated. In heaven, we either know him or we don't. Many people say, I don't believe in God because they just want to live any way they want to. They love their sin and they want to keep sinning. And God says, but that's a path to destruction. It's going to bring a lot of pain. It's going to bring a lot of hurt. Maybe you've had a bad experience and you got hurt at church, but you still can't let go of God. You still got to come back. You still got to humble yourself and live for Him. I want to leave you with, we've got to get out into the world and share His love. There was a little boy who had no shoes, and he stood in the window of a shoe store, and he was cold, he was barefoot, and he was hungry. And this dear woman took him in. This is a true story. She took him in, and she asked for water and a towel, and she washed his little feet. She bought him socks, multiple pairs of shoes, and put money in his pocket for dinner. When they left and were outside the store, the little boy took her hands and he looked into her eyes and he said, "Can I ask you something?" And she said, "Sure, you can ask me anything." He said, "Ma'am, are you Jesus' wife?" Proverbs 16:18 warns us, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In Daniel 4:1-4, there's an amazing story of King Nebuchadnezzar. And as long as he gave the glory to God, his life was amazing. It says, "To the nations and people of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great and wondrous are the signs. How mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation." As long as Nebuchadnezzar gave God glory, he was content and prosperous. Folks, we've got to voice our recognition of God, and we've got to thank Him for all He's done. We must not take our blessings for granted. The greatest way that we voice that appreciation is to be a blessing to others so that our words of praise to God are not empty. Now, we've all got a dream and we've all got a vision of how we hope our life will be. And sometimes it can feel frustrating. But God is interested in shaping our character. He is interested to see if we will remain faithful. The worst thing that could ever happen to us is for God to promote us before we're ready, especially if we're brand new in the faith. The Bible says that when a brand new convert is promoted too fast, they become clouded in their mind and stupefied with pride. See, just because you have a talent, it doesn't mean you should be promoted. In God's kingdom, our character is more important than our talent. If you want to display only your talent, then just go out in the world. I tell that to musicians. If all you care about is people looking at you and saying how great you are, please just play for the world. But when you use your talent for God, before He puts you on display, He's going to make sure that your life and your character can handle the pressure. Amen? If you want to serve God with your gifts, then you have to let God mature you. If you get ticked off at a pastor or a worship leader, but you're sure where you could preach circles around them and you should do this and do that, that's why you're not up there yet. Okay? A haughty attitude is repugnant to the Lord. So God has to test us and retest us. And you know what? How He does it? He puts the pressure on, the pressure on, the pressure on. And then one day, we blow. And He goes, "That's where I need to shape you." And we think, oh, that devil. Maybe it wasn't the devil. Maybe it was God shaping you to see if the next time, the third time, the fifth time, the tenth time, we don't blow our cork, right? That's when we're ready. That's when God says, I'm ready. He refines us and he humbles us while we wait for his timing. I always wait to see who will wait on Pastor. Who will wait until he says, let's do the next thing. When someone jumps out ahead, I know they're not ready. It's harder to wait and be patient and not be prideful, right? It's harder to wait and to humble because we can't have two leaders. That's a monster. That's a two-headed monster. We have to humble. I want to close with this passage that teaches us the humble way. And this convicted me so deep. Deuteronomy 8:2-14. Remember, can you say that with me? Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness for 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then to feeding on manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. When you're going through a hard time, do you quote scripture or do you quote the problem? Let's quote the scripture. God will cause us to have a wilderness experience where we can't make it without him, to test us to see if we will trust and we will obey. Are you at a place where you have to depend on God? See, there are many Christians that start out with a big burst, and they're at every event, they're at every prayer, they're on fire, you can hear them yelling, amen, amen, and the hands are in the air. But in a month, when there was a test, they were like a firecracker. They went up, and then they just fizzled. See, we can't do that with God. We have to be a steady flame that steadily burns brighter. And testing will do that for us. That's why we need to pray for one another, that each person will pass the tests. Amen? Were you at a place where you have to depend on God? You have nowhere else to go. That's the best place to be. Do you back off from church? Do you say, well, it's just me and God. I just got to be alone. Or do you press into God? Do you press in to get the message? Do you press into prayer meetings? Do you run to your pastors and your leaders and say, pray for me? The purpose of our test is to bring us into a place of blessing. See, that's God. He's so good. He wants to bless us. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we can, instead of getting angry and pitching a fit, we can humble ourselves under God's hand and say, God, change me, fix me, teach me. Because I know you won't promote me until I get it. In Deuteronomy 8:7-14, for the land your God is bringing you, and this is what we get when we pass the test, is a land with brooks, streams, and springs gushing into valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, figs and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, a land where bread is not scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Now here comes the good part. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the land he's given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied and you build your fine houses and you settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And beware lest you say, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth from me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. He swore to your ancestors as it is today. In James 4:6, it says, he gives us more grace. For God does oppose the proud, and he gives grace and favor to the humble. See, humility is protection. In 1 Peter, it says, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves in humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud. But he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Humility is simply depending on God. A humble prayer is in capital letters, help me, God. Help me. Help me, God. Please help me. And after you help me, God, help me to help somebody else. Help me, God. Help me, God. That's humility. Can you bow your heads? Father God, we are here today because of what you did for us, because of who you are. And God, I need you. The people here today, we need you. We need you with our kids. We need you in our job. We need you in our health. We need more of you in our church. We need you. And you died to give us a glorious life, to live for your glory, and to be a blessing to others. Today, the greatest decision you could ever make would be to receive Jesus in your heart. And with his power and his strength, live for him. If you would like to make that decision today, quietly between you and God, just lift your hand. And I would love to pray a prayer of salvation with you. So if there's anyone today, and if you've already made that decision, but you want to rededicate your life, and you want to live and make more room for him in your life, could you just lift your hand and I'll pray for you? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that other hand. Oh, Father, I pray your grace for your people. I pray your grace for those that are asking for more of you. I ask for more of you in my life, God, where I have failed you. We ask for your grace and your power to move upon our lives and give us, Lord, the strength to be a blessing to others. Be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give God glory? We're going to take the offering, and I'm going to have Pastor pray the prayer. And musicians, after you've given your offering, come up to play the last song. Happy Mother's Day.
Don't you guys appreciate Pastor?